Welcome to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. On this episode, we talk to the Lots, Colton and Kadriana, winners of the Canadian Mixed Doubles Curling Championship, on their journey to that golden day last week in New Brunswick and looking ahead to the Worlds in Sweden next month. Then Joe Hodel will join us to talk about his book on character and leadership in sports, his third book on such a thing. That's coming up on the podcast. It was a dramatic week last week for the Lots as Kadriana and Colton. It comes down to the wire, a measurement in New Brunswick, but it goes their way, and they are the Canadian Mixed Doubles Curling Champions, and they join us now on the CJOB Sports Show. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi.
Hello, thanks for having us.
All right, so Colton, take us back to last week. You make the final. You fall behind 3-0 early in that match against Kirk Myers and Laura Walker. What's your mindset when you fall down 3-0, and how is that different in mixed doubles compared to four-person curling?
Obviously, the thought process on that is it's pretty similar. You're instantly like, well, that was a way unfortunate way to start, but just being able to just to kind of drop it and park it, and there's still a lot of game to play, and just try to flip that switch and keep putting that pressure on that other team.
So, Kadriana, you get the power play in the seventh. You go up 2, you're up 6-5, but you don't have hammer in the final end. What's the mindset when you're trying to either force or steal in that last end to make sure you win?
I think it was just kind of being able to kind of stay up on them, keep making our key shots, and hopefully maybe you might get a miss or you might get a chance to sit really well in that end. It was kind of either hopefully hold them to one or maybe hopefully get that steal, which can be sometimes tougher to get when they were in the power play the last end, but we just kept making our shots and got a few. I think we got a little miss in that end, which helped us out.
So they go to a measurement. Colton, did you know it was yours for sure before they put a stick to it?
No, I didn't. I looked at it and I'm like, well, first off, I was kind of standing back there and it missed our back stone, and I was like, oh my goodness, I think we might have just won. I went and I looked at it and I thought it was us, but I knew it was close. I just didn't once they went around the first time, and they started with ours and then they measured the red, and as it got closer to the red, I was like, oh, this is way closer than I think.
So they go around again, Kadriana, and they say it's yours. I've seen the video. It was a very emotional embrace between the two of you when you finally win. Can you put into words what that moment was like, winning mixed doubles with your husband?
I can't even really put it into words. It was such a crazy feeling. We've worked so hard for that moment, being back at it third time in the final, it was kind of just a feeling of we actually did it. It was unreal. I still watch that video over and over again, and just it gives me that same feeling every time, and it's just one of those feelings that any athlete strives for, and we're just beyond grateful and happy and excited to be heading to Worlds.
So Colton, this is your third time in the final. It's an every 3 years thing where you make the final. 2018, you lose to Myers and Walker in the bubble. In 21, losing to Kerry Anderson and Brad Guju, and now to finally win, third time's the charm. Does it make it even sweeter knowing how close you've been before?
Yeah, no, for sure. We know we're well aware on the feeling you get being the runner up, and and to finally have that, like, that breakthrough. And it's just like, yeah, that release of great emotions that just kind of overcome you. And it's one of the best feelings. I've personally probably one of the best feelings I've personally ever had, to be honest. So, and then doing it with my wife as well, it makes it that much better.
And Colton, this was not long after the Brier, right? You went to with Matt Dunstone, you go to the Brier. It doesn't go as well as you would have hoped it goes. How quickly did you have to pivot from that experience to going to Fredericton and competing in this?
Yeah, like it was the following weekend we left. Like it would have been the following Saturday we flew out. So it was a very quick turnaround, and I didn't fully, like, I had to kind of, like, it's very, with the way the Brier went and finished for us, it was very unfortunate, and we didn't reach the goal that we wanted to. So there was a lot of just reflection and just getting past that kind of disappointment of not doing what we meant to do there. But I really had to, kind of halfway through the week, park it and be the team player I am and bring what I could for Kadriana last week.
Kadriana, did you notice a change in Colton's demeanor at some point that, you know, okay, he's ready to play here. We're ready to go into this tournament. He's ready to move past the Brier.
Yeah, I think as soon as kind of our first game rolled around, there's, you know, that first, like, little bit of competition nervousness. But once we got into that first game, I could tell, yeah, he got comfortable, talking lots on the ice and being the player he can be. So I knew he would be able to get it into the game fairly quick, because he's just that type of player too. And once he's in kind of that game mode of depends if it's men's or mixed doubles, he's ready to go.
And so now you get to go to Sweden next month. Have you guys been to Sweden before?
Yeah, we've been to, I think you say like Jönköping. We were there in 2019 for the World Cup. We've been there. We won the gold there as well. So we're excited to be heading back to Sweden, different place. Hopefully, catching some scenery, and yeah, it'll be a nice trip.
So Colton, what do you have to do to get ready for the Worlds? What does the preparation process look like?
It'll be just making sure we're healthy and getting on the ice here and then practicing as much as we can before heading out. I personally have the Players Championship in Toronto the week before leaving with Matt's or our men's team. So I'm already gearing up for that as well. And then straight from there, then we're heading to Worlds. So, but yeah, that's our focus. Just getting on the ice, dialing everything in and letting our communication and talent and the work we put in take us all the way.
So after you win the mixed doubles title, when does the call go into work to say, hey, I'm going to need a week off, I'm going to Sweden next month?
I think my work is very supportive. They cheer us on every time we're away, and just having that support from them, knowing that if I did win, I was automatically getting that time off. I they were watching the final, most of them. So I think they knew that I would be gone. So it's a good feeling not having to worry so much about work, having to worry about that part. Kind of just lets you play your game, and if you win, you win, and if you don't, you don't. But they're super supportive, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, congratulations to both of you again on winning the mixed doubles gold. A huge achievement for you, and best of luck when you head off to Sweden for the Worlds.
Thank you so much.
That is Colton and Kadrian Alat. They are the winners of the Canadian Mixed Doubles Curling Championship held in Fredericton last week. They beat Laura Walker and Kirk Myers Friday in the final for the national championship. And yes, they are off to the Worlds in Sweden. Character and leadership are two traits that are pretty important in life, but especially in sports. It doesn't always breed success, but these traits often cited as reasons why certain athletes rise above the rest. And that brings us to our next guest tonight, Joe Hodel, the CEO of a company called Character Development and Leadership based in Traverse City, Michigan. He's now written three books on the matter, the latest entitled appropriately Sports Role Models 3, where he takes readers inside the lives of 34 athletes who exemplify character, leadership, and sportsmanship and inspire others to greatness. And earlier today, I spoke with Joe about his project.
How does somebody become involved, invested in, and interested in character and leadership?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. It goes back a long time now, over 20 years. I was a professor at the University of North Carolina, and we received a grant, and that was essentially to help kids. And we screwed it up for several years, and I finally went to a local high school principal, and I said, what is it that we need to do to help kids? And he said, we need to develop their character and their leadership. And that's how it began. That was in 2001, and I ended up teaching classes on developing character and leadership. And one of the outshoots of that is that if you really want to impress upon someone, anyone, adult, a child, various aspects of character, like respect and responsibility and integrity, you have to show them examples of people who walk the face of the earth. And that's why we decided to write these role model books.
Why is sports such a good vehicle for that?
Well, it's a great question. When you think about athletes, we know, think about that, you know, the Final Four is coming up, right? In terms of basketball, we know the teams, we know the coaches, we know the players, we know their backstories. They do interviews before the games. We just seem to know an awful lot about those people. And when you maybe you have a team that you root for, it's just you get so attached to that, and you look up to these people because you see them. You know, you see them on the field. If you're a scientist somewhere curing cancer, and you screw something up, or maybe you go and cheat on your wife or something like that, you don't know about it. The public doesn't know about it, but you know about it when it's an athlete. So if you're naturally looking up to someone, I want to use that as a positive example, because we have so many negative examples. We see scandal after scandal and someone who's let us down on and off the field. And I just thought it was time to really shine the light on those athletes who inspire us.
So this is now the third book that you've written as part of this series. Are you going to run out of examples at some point? Is there an end in sight to how many books you're going to write on this?
Yes, we're going to have four books total. So we have Sports Role Models, book one, book two, and book three that are out. And then book four is coming. And the reason there's four is because we have this program for schools. It's for high school athletes to develop their character and leadership. And we needed enough content to last three seasons a year for 4 years. So we're working on the fourth book, and that's going to include maybe some more contemporary people. But that's what we're working on.
All right. So book three specifically, the one that's out now, what are some of the things people can learn from this book?
I chose people based off of particular traits that they exemplify. right? So not everyone is a saint, right? I'm not holding these people up as perfect, because no one is. If I were going to write about you, I could find things in your closet that, you know, you wouldn't want to be put into print. I think that's true for just about everybody. But these people, these athletes, I think it's really just a great way to, you know, kind of pigeonhole or show examples of people that exemplified that particular trait. So if I took, we're talking Canada here. So if I took out Wayne Gretzky, and I chose him for overall character, just the way he carried himself, the way he treated the fans, the way he gave back to his game, the way he was an ambassador for his country, for his team. You know, he always treated people with kindness, and people always said that he was even better with his character than he was even as a hockey player. So I try to really bring out those type of traits and to hone in on them.
And a lot of traits, overcoming obstacles, but also being successful, right? Is that a big part of the story too?
Yes. And it is one part of the story, right? I mean, I've written about some people that weren't necessarily great athletes. They're not all Wayne Gretzky's. I mean, those are the greatest of all time. But I've written about people that were, I should say athletes that were good athletes, but they had outstanding character. Let's see here. So have you ever heard of a person by the name of Najee Harris?
Yep, running back for the Steelers.
Yes. So I don't know how great he's going to be. He was a first-round draft pick, and he came out of Alabama. But when he was a child, his father abandoned him, and he had like four siblings, and he was living with his mother. They were in and out of homeless shelters most of his childhood. And when he was being drafted, when everybody has these big parties, or maybe they go to the NFL and they're part of that party, he actually had his draft party at a homeless shelter. And it was his way of saying thank you to those who were there for him. And I just thought that was such a great story. And it's you know, about his appreciation that he had for others. And I just think those are the stories I wanted to bring out and pay attention to.
Shining a light on the backstories of how people got to where they got to and how they used their character and were able to get out of some tough situations, I imagine.
That is very true. And one of those traits are like determination or perseverance. And I think one of the things that we should all know is that life is hard. It's hard for everybody. There's a challenge. There's small challenges on a daily basis, and there's big challenges that have happened to you and that are before you. And I hope that one of the things I'm able to do is show how, if you just really keep at it and you set those goals and you work hard and you're willing to overcome and you don't take no for an answer, that a lot of your goals can come true.
What's been the feedback you've received from the first two books and now this third one as well?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. I've been very, very excited by it. I think it's just because people are sick and tired of hearing the stories about, you know, this guy who, you know, what, I mean, we're talking right now, the big story is that this baseball player, did he bet on baseball? And this scandal is everywhere that you look. It's on ESPN, it's on Good Morning America, it's everywhere. But I think we just get sick of those stories. I think this is basically saying to people, there are tremendous people out there. They're tremendous athletes. They're tremendous coaches that have great character that can inspire us to do better and to be better.
Stories of hope rather than looking at the bad.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes we just forget about it because we see the scandals. I just want everyone to know that those stories are there. There are tremendous role models in every walk of life. But certainly in my chosen target audience, which is athletes.
And I'm curious about the angle of how these stories resonate with younger people, because that's how this all started, right? These positive examples and messages, how have you seen them be received by that audience over the years that you've been doing this?
Yes. You know, primarily these were written for high school athletes, and it's we put these stories onto an app, and it's to develop character, leadership, and sportsmanship in high school athletes. But when I look at the responses, you know, like what is it that inspired you about Wayne Gretzky? What is it that inspired you about Mario Lemieux? And that's when I see the feedback, and that's the part that's uplifting. And the reason that we created these books was not for the high school students. It was because I'd share these stories with my friends, you know, anybody and everybody, and they just thought they were so inspiring that's why we made essentially like a $20,000 bet that the average sports fan out there would want to read these stories and they could be inspired just as much.
So if someone listening here in Winnipeg wants to check out any of these books, is there a place they can go?
Yes. You can go right to amazingrolemodels.com. That's probably the best way to get it. But of course, you can always go to Amazon and purchase, you can purchase one of them or you can purchase all three. There's a box set out there.
I appreciate you coming on the show to talk about this, Joe, and best of luck, continued success with everything you're doing.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. If you like what you heard, guess what? You can hear more every weeknight on CJOB from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Thanks again for tuning in. Subscribe if you'd like. We're available on iTunes and other places, I'd imagine. So farewell until we meet again. And thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you all.